You're listening to a message that we hope will help you grow and have a deeper relationship with God and others.
Morning. As you know, we've journeyed through a series entitled Rise and Fall. We studied the different lives of different kings in order to help you and I understand, discern through the scripture how we should vote. And now that that process is over, it's time to pray. It's time to intercede. It's time to ask God to help our leaders function the way they ought to. But in praying, we need to be strategic and targeted and understand what it is we're praying about. History will tell us that life is surrounded by tyrants. In other words, history tells us that the whole life, history tells us that tyrants rule the world. Tyrants are basically dictators, despots, people who ran the way life should be, the way they wanted life to be run, using their power and authority to basically enslave people. Now, you and I know in Scripture that one of the models that God uses to teach us that are the pharaohs in Egypt. The nation or the family of Abraham have moved to Egypt, and they've grown into a massive number of people, an aggregation of clusters of tribes, so to speak, and Israel was inside Egypt. God was about to launch them to become a nation. He wasn't launching them to become a religion. He was launching the nation of Israel out of Egypt. And what happens is he takes these people, this obscure bunch of slaves, these guys who were nomadic, weren't educated, not very smart, but he was launching them to teach them it's not about how smart you are, it's about how you understand how God wants to build a nation, and part of that is government. He takes a man named Moses, and he launches this group of guys, and you know the story, you've read the Bible, and they cross the Red Sea, and in the midst of that, we find what God is doing in laying the foundation of what is known as civil government for a nation. It's important to understand this, so that when you vote, when you talk to your congressman or your mayor or your counselor, you know what it is you expect from them, and you know what it is you're demanding from them, and you know what it is that you shouldn't demand from them. Some of you, when lightning strikes and hits your barn or whatever it is, your house, you complain. That is not your civil servant's role to protect you from lightning. Amen? We overdo this. We need to know what government is and what it is not. What God says their role is and what God says they're not. That's not the role. Moses crosses the Red Sea. And as they start inching into the promised land, we see the what of governance. As they start entering the promised land, God begins to lay the basic foundations of civil government. What you and I need to expect from this government that's coming in. What you and I need to pray for this government to facilitate and function in order for us to see this nation become the nation that God intended it to be. The verse I want to look at is in Exodus chapter 18, verse 13. It says, the next day, Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood around Moses from morning till evening. Moses was not meant to be a president. The foundation of every civil government, any government for that matter, is the word justice. If we're going to see the nation function properly, if we're going to see a government thrive, it has to fulfill the very one thing that it's supposed to be built on, which is the word justice, fair play. I like the stories when sometimes people, a story that I just recently heard about one of our senators smoking in a non-smoking area, and the mayor of the city went inside the non-smoking area and grabbed him by the hand and took him out of that non-smoking area and said, you cannot smoke in here. How many of you know that's justice? Some of you don't like that because you were the one smoking. You're the one that wants to enjoy certain privileges when really the only way life is going to work is to lay the foundation of justice where there's fair play. Whenever there's no fair play and someone gets the benefit that others don't get, I'm not talking about socialism now. I don't believe that's basically scriptural. I'm telling you that there has to be justice. There has to be fair play. The main role of civil governance, The main role of a civil servant is to implement laws that are just. Laws. That's why laws, the first thing that Moses did, that God did through Moses, was to institute laws. Not just laws, righteous laws. Exodus chapter 2, verse 14, he answered, "Who made you prince?" Notice, this is a story prior to Moses becoming the head of Israel, where he had murdered an Egyptian. Because out of self-righteousness, he wanted to prove to these people that he loved them, and he murdered them. And they were fighting each other, and he confronted these two Jews, and they answered him, "Who made you prince and judge over us?" The idea of justice is not just for a leader to know. The very people that Moses was trying to lead did not understand the concept of justice. That there is such a thing. And if you want nations to thrive, if you want a nation to succeed, if you want nations to grow the way they ought to, you got to lay the foundation of justice in the first place. Laws have to be put in place. The people that you voted, hopefully, are not just there because they're popular or just because you heard them from the radio or they campaigned in your home, but you knew that they could write laws that were going to be righteous. Because apart from righteous laws and the implementation of justice, you're not going to see a very successful government. You may think you have one, but the fact is you don't. Because the foundation of civil society rests on justice. My prayer from the beginning of this election was that God raise for us leaders who may not necessarily be godly. God can raise a Darius and a Cyrus and a Nebuchadnezzar. The issue is, can they be just? Can they be fair? Their job is not to be a Christian believer. Their job is give us justice. Be fair. Don't steal. That applies not just to your leaders. That applies to all of us. That's the law. Don't commit adultery. It destroys the moral fabric of a nation. It destroys your children. It leads them into sin and pornography and destruction. There's a simple laws. Laws are important because without laws, we will fail. You can have all the presidents and the congressmen and the senators. Without the right, just laws of righteousness, society will fail. It won't work. You're going around in circles. You can vote as many people as you want in office. Nothing's going to change. The first thing the Bible tells us that civil governance that we should expect from them is justice. The second thing is found in Exodus chapter 5, or rather Exodus chapter 5 actually re-emphasizes that. And here now Moses is now the leader. And again, the people this time, now he's the leader. Previously he was not, but now he's the leader. And they still say, "The Lord look on you and judge you." Basically they're saying, you know what, you're not doing us right because our jobs got harder because of you. Sometimes leaders need to make life hard for you. The job of a leader is not, as a father, my job is not to make life just easy for my children. They won't have the backbone. They won't be men. And praise God. Because men have to be men. And the reason why he's a man is because I remember the days when he was a small boy and I had to give him the rod to teach him how to obey. And I had to train him. And sometimes expect your government to make life a little bit hard for you. And sometimes government needs to do that so you can understand that what you enjoy today is because someone else did that for you. We're a young nation. We're not an old nation. We're a young nation. Our nation is very, very young. I was recently in Europe and I looked at some of these buildings. Some of the buildings in Europe are twice the age of our nation. There's things that we're yet to learn. And sometimes governance is necessary to make that happen. The second thing that government needs to fulfill for us is this idea of peace and order. You cannot have justice without peace and order. And so government has to have the ability and the will to impose police powers when necessary in order to see justice done. Numbers chapter 1 tells us one of the first things that God says to Moses, implement justice, but the second thing you need to do, Moses, is take a census of all the congregation of the people of Israel by clans and by fathers and houses according to the number of names, every male, everybody say male, not female, and by head, and take a census. Take a census of what? Of all the people of Israel. From 20 years old and upward, all, remember, they're slaves. Remember, they didn't have anything. And the first thing God says is, Moses, you got to set in place laws that produce justice and righteousness. And the second thing you need to have is, you're going to have an army of people who are able to fight wars for you, because you can't have justice without power and might and authority and police. It just won't work. We need to have these things. And sometimes we grow up in a condition where we think everything is safe. There are threats around us. The nation of Israel was under great threat from enemies all around them. And so Moses was told, you got to raise an army. And I beg you, as the people of God, pray for justice. Pray for your military. Pray for your police. Pray for your generals. I thank God that in this church we have a lot of generals. You guys be careful about our ushers. You just don't know them. Some of them are generals. Some of you disrespect our ushers. You be careful. But pray for them. Pray that they'll have righteousness and the fear of God. Pray that they will govern righteously. The third thing that we find in Scripture as to what government is, number one is justice, number two is power and authority and might, number three is infrastructure. Interestingly, all the kingdoms of the earth did not have infrastructure. They had palaces for kings, and the rest of the people were basically slaves. They basically lived in huts. They had no food. They had no health conditions. But God was different. When he launched out Israel, he said, you're different. You're not like these guys. You're not going to have one guy living in a palace where everybody else is going hungry. You're going to have an infrastructure. You're going to have camps, and you're going to have latrines. In fact, you're going to have an FDA system. You're going to have a Food and Drug Authority. 4,000, 5,000 years ago, only the Jews had an FDA system back then. Everybody else was left to fend for himself. You die based on what you eat and whatever happens to you, you're on your own. The Jews were different. God speaks to Moses and says, Moses, you've got to have the markana. I can't pronounce it, the Hebrew markana. Okay. And he begins to explain this concept of community, what we now know as the moshav, the kibbutz. That principle that we see today in Israel is something that's been living and alive thousands of years ago, because God says, if you're going to be a kind of community, if you're going to be a kind of nation that's going to be just, you're going to have to understand this concept. The camp, the tribes, the people that love each other, the systems, the infrastructure. It's not going to work without that. Without order, you're not going to have peace. That's why it's called peace and order. God is a God of order. God is not a God of disorder. He's a God of peace, the Bible tells us, because without order, there is no peace. You're not going to have peace without order. It's just not going to happen. Pray for peace and order. Pray for structures. Pray for systems. Notice Leviticus chapter 13, verse 29. Here's the FDA rules, 5,000 years old. The structure was in place. The tribes were in place. The barangay system was in place, if you may. And he says, when a man or a woman has a disease, and by the way, you can go to Leviticus. This is a lot of fun. Some of you, when you get to Leviticus, you fall asleep. You need to read this thing. This is amazing. God's so amazing that thousands of years ago, he was laying the foundation for governance. You cannot have governance without order. The whole essence of governance is order. Whether that's in your home, whether that's in your personal life, whether that's in church, or whether that's in civil society or in a company, you're going to have order and structures. When a man or a woman has a disease on the head, he goes through all this disease. There's rules and laws for germs in your house in Leviticus. There's rules and laws for how you wash your basins so that you don't get poisoned. Can you imagine? These slaves are being trained by God how to think right. Why you shouldn't urinate anywhere in the street. Hello? Because it's unhealthy, because you're putting in all the bacteria and the germs in the streets. He was teaching them. The priest shall examine the disease, and if it appears in deeper than the skin and the hair and the yellow, basically says, if that happens, he shall. But obviously, I'm not saying this is the way we should do it. The principle that the righteous judge was consumed about the health of the people. It was not just the king getting all the benefits, but there was an infrastructure that took care of the people. That didn't have to be somebody who knew someone to get the kind of service that he needed, that anybody should get that service. Because it's just. It's just the right thing to do. He shall remain unclean. And then basically says, the dwelling shall be outside the camp. There were camps. There were places for sick people. There were places for people who murdered somebody and were being out for revenge. There were places like these. There was an infrastructure. Pray for infrastructure. You keep praying every day, all of these things will just go away. Let me tell you something about prayer. Prayer is not a thing that you do. It's something you do, obviously. But if you think it's something that you just have to check and do, prayer is being so convinced that God hears me, that God can hear my voice, and I can go to Him. And that I'm so convinced that He hears me, I'm willing not to watch TV tonight so I can wake up tomorrow so I can talk to Him so He can hear me again. God's concern for answering your prayer is not how methodical you pray, but that He knows that you know that deep in your heart you're convinced that He hears you and He can answer your prayer. When your premises for prayer are like that, you'll see your prayers answered. Because I believe that God answers prayer. But see, the problem is people think it's just this guy that knows how to pray. That's not true. Anyone who chooses to believe that God hears his prayer and answers prayer can pray. Now imagine if each one of us began to pray. The point is infrastructure, prayer. Finally, economic policy. You can't have civil governance without economic policy. Believe it or not, back in the Old Testament, God laid the foundation of justice, of power and might and military. He laid the foundation for infrastructure, and He laid the foundation for economic policy. First, He said that you're going to have to tithe. You're going to have to set aside money to make sure that I'm glorified and honored as a nation in their midst. But beyond that, He said, more than just that, I need you to have an offering. Exodus chapter 30, verse 13 says, each one of you who is numbered in the census, censuses are important, amen? You need to keep track of everybody. Your tax identification number is important. You shall give this, a shekel, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, half a shekel as an offering to the Lord. This is not the tithe. This is an offering because you can't run a system without money. The discussion on money is important. An economic policy is important. And He says, everyone who is numbered in the census from 20 years old upward, we shall give the Lord's offering. Basically, everybody should contribute to make this thing work. How can we have camps? How can we have roads? How can we have stoplights? How can we do all of this if not everybody's contributing? We've got to have sound economic policy, He's basically saying. Now watch. He says, if you're 20 years old, not when you're 15 years old. Child labor and child abuse is not what my wife was doing earlier. That's illegal. The good news is there are grandchildren, so that's legal. Okay, now give an offering. Now watch this. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less. Our tax systems are actually out of whack. The idea is not whether you give more or you give less. Percentage is not the issue. The issue is that everybody gives. Do you understand that if you collected a straight percentage for everybody, our tax problems will be over tomorrow? No one can be corrupt because you can basically take the tax out of my payroll and goes to the bank. That's it. It's over. Nobody has to collect. How many of you know God's wise? Sound economic policies. Pray for that. God, just policies, just laws, just systems, honorable military and police personnel. God, we're asking you for that. Pray for the nation. You've done your duty, you voted, and God has spoken, and by his sovereignty, he's appointed whoever won. It's time to pray. God, give us sound economic policies. Not just something that we want, what's sound. Let me summarize what government is. First, justice. Second, peace and order. Third, infrastructure. Fourth, economic policy. This is the job of government. Beyond that, I don't believe it's a job of government. By the way, where's education in all of this? Education is not the government's job. That's your job. If you're going to educate your children by the time they get to grade school, you're late. My kids did not learn to read in grade school. My kids learned to read when my wife was at home. She taught them how to read. She taught them how to obey. She taught them not to write on walls. Your teachers in public schools or private schools will not teach your children how not to hurt other kids. That's your job. Discipline is not the school's job. That's your job. Now, we know the what, how. How does this work? How, I'm praying, God, I'm believing you for justice. I'm believing you, Lord, for a just and honorable military and police. God, I'm believing you for the right infrastructures and systems for my nation. God, I'm believing you for the right economic policies. How? How do you do this, God? The book of Isaiah chapter 9 tells us how. Verse 6 says, for to us, this is the famous governmental verse that we see on Christmas Day. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Essentially, here's the outline for how government should be implemented. The Bible's an amazing book, isn't it? He says, for a child, Jesus, it will be born to you one day, and the government shall be in his shoulders. That if you ascribe to Jesus, if you call upon God as a nation, and say, God, help us as a nation to be the kind of nation that is governed by your righteousness, he says, I'm going to give you wonderful counsel. I'm going to give you wisdom. That's how you become just. You become just because you have miraculous. That's what the word wonderful means. An ability to discern the right counsel, to think right. Government requires not just simple things, they require wonderful counsel. Pray for wonderful counsel. Pray for wisdom. Don't just pray for wisdom, pray for power. God, give us might. When a nation ascribes itself to God, and I'm not saying that this has to be a Christian nation, Christian nations don't become Christians. Listen to me. Nations don't become Christians. Companies don't become Christians. It's people who become Christians. Now, if there's more Christians in a country, then you're going to have more of Christianity in that country. But countries don't become Christians. It's people. Some people say, we're a Christian company. What are you talking about? Companies are not Christians. It's people who are Christians. Think right. Have the sense of wonderful counsel. You can call yourself Christian church, but if you don't behave like you're supposed to as Christians, you're not a Christian church. Because it's people who are Christians. Pray for mighty power. Government runs on the spirit of wonderful counsel. Wisdom is required to govern. Whether you're running a business, whether you're running a company, you're running a church, running a family, you need wonderful counsel. You need power. You need strength. You cannot just be a weak leader. It just doesn't work that way. Thirdly, pray for the everlasting Father. A government has to have the heart of a father. What differentiates God's governance is the wonderful counsel of God, the power of God, and in the midst of that, the motivation is, I love you. Father, the spirit of a father should be like that. The government should be watching over its people with the heart of a father, willing to sacrifice. Willing to give some turf, not just always condescending, not just always saying, I want it to be done this way and this is the way it's going to be done. There are moments. As a father, listen to me. If you're a father in here, those guys that me and my dad camp, when your kids become teenagers and adults, let me tell you the biggest secret of success to parenting. It's called vulnerability. It's when you let your children prove that they're better than you. Amen? Because once they do that, when kids are small and you keep blocking them in the basketball court like you were some giant, they adore you. But after a while, and they start winning over you, you see this their shoulders just go up like this. Their faces have a sense of confidence. When they have an idea, some fathers, you just don't get it. You don't have to always be in control, and you don't always have to be the guy that wins. Your job is to be a father. Your job is to set up your kids for success. Sometimes we overbear and we overpower our children. It's good to be vulnerable. A government needs to be like that, to listen to its people. Not just to say we know everything, because the fact of the matter is you don't know everything. It's arrogance to even go there. Your job is not to be perfect. Your job is to be a father. And fathers, the only father who's perfect is God, but we're not. But the heart, the motive of a father is important. And finally, the Prince of Peace, it says. A prince is responsible for executing the wishes of a king. A government to be good, it has to have the wisdom of God, the power of God, the motivation of love of God. But it has to have the ability to execute those things. It can't just be conceptual. It can't just be theories that I think of. It has to be something. A prince is somebody who takes the wishes of the king and actually implements it out there and creates order. So how does this happen? Pray for that. God give us the right executives. God give us the right people. Pray and intercede and call out to God. God, give us the right wisdom, the right power, the right authority, the right heart of a father. Isaiah chapter 9 closes with this. If we do this, he says, of the increase of his government and peace, shalom, there will be no end. When government is played out according to God's word, justice, power and security and might, the right infrastructures, when government is played with right economic policies and is done in the wisdom of God, the power of God, the motives of the love of God, and finally the idea of ability to execute things properly, the Bible promises us of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. I think that's worth getting up every morning for. I believe that as Christians, we should be praying this way. Crying out to God and saying, Lord, be it done according to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness. The point of all of this goes back to justice and righteousness. The point of all of this is you can't really have a good life apart from having just laws, just systems, just rulers, righteous rulers. Let me try and close this. What, how, and finally who? Abraham Lincoln was recorded to have said this, quote, government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from earth. It's largely believed that Lincoln was a Bible reader and thus is a Christian. He wasn't very public about his faith, but he did believe in God. And he believed that government is of the people. It's the who of government is you and me. You're the ones that elected them. It's the people, government of the people, by the people, for the people shall not perish on the earth. So how does that happen? How can that really be? I'm the government of the people when I voted these guys, and these guys have the power to run this thing. Well, first of all, pray. Now, let me explain to you how this works. This really cuts close to us as a church here. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth." In other words, all government in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All government is under who? The Bible says all government in heaven and on earth has been given to me. The authority in government, if we pray as Christians and believe God and say, "God, I'm trusting you, I'm believing you for this kind of government, for an implementation of a government this way, then I'm believing that your authority will be upon our nation. They may be ruled by people who don't know you, but you're still the ruler of this nation." They don't have to be Christians. Sometimes Christians are so funny. If we could just elect a Christian president, our nation will change. If that guy is incompetent, if that guy does not understand economic policy, if that guy does not know how to execute, he's not going to change this nation. Amen? But God can take anybody, and if his people will pray and seek his face and cry out to him, he will heal the land. Now, here's what he says. God is the infinite authority over our lives. He's the boss. He's the ruler. He's the king. You and I are under our self-government. The ultimate government that you have is you. Under God. God is your king. In other words, whether you cheat, whether you lie, whether you stop in a stoplight when it's supposed to be stop and not go, how many of you know the police didn't see you, but God did? When you steal from your boss didn't see you because the CCTV camera was not in your angle, but God saw you. So self-government is the most basic form of government. In other words, if you don't throw your wrappers from your car, then you don't have to hire a government to hire a basurero for you. Is that clear enough? The most basic government is you. If you don't urinate in the street, then we don't have to hire people to wash the street. If you stopped in a stoplight, then I don't have to hire a policeman to stop you. If you don't cheat, then we don't have to hire people to watch you. Because the ultimate government is self-government under God. The second government is family government. If you entrust your kids to teachers, to policemen, to others, they're going to abuse them. If you teach them how to abide by rules and laws and teach them how to go home on time, sleep on time so that they can be healthy, habits are formed when people are small. I learned some extremely bad habits growing up and I had to unlearn them for 30 years. I got wise that when I started having children, I learned if I can teach these guys how not to eat candy at a certain hour, I can surely keep them away from drugs. Because habits are formed when they're small. And the most basic government, if you're waiting for some angel to teach your children the right stuff, you're missing the point. The beginning of your children is you. That's where government begins. Bishop Jure was right. What we do at home is extremely more important than any election we're going to be doing. Those are necessary for civil governance. Those are necessary for justice. Those are things that happen outside our house. But what we do with our lives is mostly in our house, by the way. Most of the things that are going to happen in your life involves your family and very little of society. What you want to do when you deal with society is that there will be justice and that will be dealt accordingly for you and for them so that you live life righteously and accordingly. And then you've got civil government. That's how God delegates this thing. When you order society according to God's governance, it works. Where is the church in all of this? The church's role is what I'm doing right now, to teach you His word. My job is to teach you His word and let the Holy Spirit guide you accordingly as to how you're going to live this life. To teach you the truth of His word. So that you'll have the wisdom of God, the character of God, the fortitude of God, the discipline of God to be able to fulfill your role. As I close, verse 28 says, "Go therefore and make disciples." He said, "All authority has been given to me." The way you're going to change this nation is you disciple people so that they know the authority that oversees them, which is why we make disciples in this church. The prophecy of Isaiah 9 of the increase of His government, there will be no end. To us a child is born, and He shall be called Wonderful Counselor. The fulfillment of Isaiah 9 is Matthew chapter 28. All government has been given to me. And how are you going to implement that? You go and make disciples of all nations. Teach them how to obey me. Teach them how to follow me. Because when the government of God goes into the hearts of people, they'll obey Him. You don't need external government. When kids are young, you have to give them discipline from the outside because the discipline is not on the inside. When you disciple them long enough and you teach them what's right and what's just, that discipline is going to be on the inside of them, and they're going to be walking with that. You're going to be long gone, and that government continues forever because you set it in place. And that's what this verse is saying. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, teaching them how to obey. That's what it says, teaching them how to obey everything that I've commanded you. It's very simple, isn't it? And behold, He says, and now see, that if you do this, of the increase of my government, behold, I will be with you always up to the very end of the age. My government will be seen. Might not be in my label, not might be with a crusader flag flying around the world, but my ways, my thoughts, my plans, my intentions, my motives, my systems will be in place. Amen? And then when that happens, they'll say, their God lives. It's real. It's not a brand. It's the real deal. Amen? Would you stand on your feet as we close in a word of prayer? Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for our nation, the Philippines. Thank you for our people. Thank you for the last election. Lord, it's not perfect, but it's getting there. It's getting there, God. It will get there. Father, we as your people today covenant ourselves with you, trusting your word, God, declaring, Father, your goodness over our nation. God, I ask you in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit of God, that you would put conviction upon us. If you're saying, God, I want to pray for this nation, just lift up your hands. Let's ask for grace today. Lord, make us a people who will pray for this nation. To pray for your justice. To pray for a righteous and honorable, dignified military and police force. To pray for the right systems and infrastructures, God. Father, give us an economic policy that works. Not one that favors a few, God, but one that actually works. And God, we ask that you lead us with your wonderful counsel, your mighty power, motivated by your love. Give us a government, Lord, that can execute like a prince. And we trust, Lord God, that as we do this, your government will be in place. First in our hearts, then in our homes, and throughout civil society and the rest of our land. God, we praise you and we bless you. And to you be honor forever and ever. For you are the real King of this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your morning.
Thank you for listening. More messages are available for download at joeybonifacio.com. It is our hope that you will have a deeper relationship with God and others.